Janice, and she is a survivor of 9/11. And if you'd like, Janice, you certainly can do the follow-up. Does that sound good?
Okay. Okay. Some questions and answers. Did I still have a job? Yes, and I was thankful for that also. I worked from home for a few days, and then I went to a series of temporary work locations. It was so nice to see my coworkers again. What was the bomb scare in Bryant Park? Oh, you didn't hear that part, because that wasn't the part that I read. But there was a bomb scare in Bryant Park, but evidently it was a hoax, because I didn't read anything about it in the newspaper. What was the shockwave on the 44th floor of the South Tower? The initial boom was from the crash of United Airlines Flight 175, more than 30 floors higher. Joe was also on the 44th floor at the time, and he was in a better position to witness what followed. He was near the southern end of the lobby by the local elevators that serviced the 68th floor. Immediately after the impact of the plane, some of those elevator cars started falling. The falls were partially blocked, evidently by an emergency braking system. The shockwave of dust came from the elevator shafts. The pressure from the shockwave was so great that the people standing nearby were blown to the floor. Anyone who was trapped inside of those elevators undoubtedly perished. What happened to some of the people I noticed on my way out of the South Tower? The woman from the cafeteria who was being helped down the stairs did survive. I was glad to see her at one of our temporary work locations. I recognized a few of the other people from news articles. The elderly man being helped down the stairs was Albert Joseph. He was able to get out of the building, but then he was injured by falling debris when the South Tower collapsed. He died later. The young man I saw assisting Albert did survive. The female police officer who was yelling, "Keep moving," on the plaza level was Maura Smith. She did not survive, and neither did her partner, Police Officer Robert Fazio. Did we lose anyone from my floor, the 68th floor of the South Tower? No. Kathy and Fred went to different parts of the floor to notify other groups, so most of the people from the 68th floor left early. There were a few who actually chose to stay at first, but they did leave soon afterwards, and they did live to talk about it. Did my employer lose any people? Yes, we lost 13 people. 6 of them were direct employees, and the other 7 were contracted through other companies. One of the 13 victims was Albert Joseph, who I passed in the stairwell. 5 of the 13, Jennifer DeJesus, Lindsay Herkness, Tom Swift, Joseph DiPilato, and Steven Strauss, worked on various floors below the crash site, but they were not able to escape the devastation. At least some of those 5 may have been in elevators when the second plane crashed. The remaining 7 of the 13 victims were from our security department. Titus Davison, Charles Lorenzen, Wesley Mercer, Norbert Solomon, Jorge Velasquez, Godwin Ford, and Richard Rescorla. Those men searched various floors to see if anyone else needed help.
And finally, what about the survivors? I mean, you said that, I mean, you said this earlier, that everyone's unique, everyone has stories to tell.
That's right. So I already said that part. That's why I didn't continue to read in this part, yes.
But do you find that, talk to other survivors? Do you share stories and get support from one another?
Yes, there was a lot of support. You know, back when we went to our temporary work locations, there was a lot of support. And, of course, they brought in counselors, grief counselors, to help people, and it was really busy because we were trying to keep everything going after we lost our workspace. So I didn't actually go to the grief counselors, but I know a lot of people who did.
I know that we have a professor in our psychology department, Dr. Minna Barrett, who actually was one of the counselors who did some research and work with some of the survivors as well. And to this day is still in touch with them. But I think that's important to have some support and some commonality, because I think it's very different, obviously, when you're watching it on TV versus when you're actually there.
Yes.
And there's a giant difference. And plus, you saw people firsthand that you know or may have then learned about thereafter who may not be here with us today.
Right. Yes, sometimes you don't appreciate the people around you until you're not sure if they're going to be there the next day, and then you appreciate them more, and that was the situation.
Do you find that, and given that, then has your worldview changed as a result of 9/11?
I would say that I'm closer to people. I'm not an outgoing person, but I'm closer to people now. I would say my worldview has, in general, has not changed. You know, I believed in God pretty much all my life, and I had other experiences before 9/11 that just increased my faith. And you know, so that when 9/11 happened, a couple things. You know, I had faith, but there's hope. You know, at every stage, I was hoping for the best, and that kind of got me through the various steps. Of course, you didn't know how bad it was going to be. You know, when you were walking down the steps, you didn't know. But I was always hopeful for the best.
You said that also you saw a lot of compassion.
Right.
And you mentioned a couple of those stories. Was that sort of the overall sentiment of people really being compassionate and careful with one another?
Definitely. I was surprised, actually, to see that much. You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the financial district, right?
That's true. That's a good point.
You know, but it's surprising how people, you know, you might not expect it, but a lot of people are very compassionate, and when the situation warrants it, you see it. I even see it, you know, if I'm having trouble with my feet or something, people always give me a seat on the subway. You know, you see that. So
it probably resonates more with you now. You see, you're more attuned to it now, I would imagine.
Yes, I think so.
But I think, though, that from what I can gather, that 9/11 has really changed us, and that we do have this sort of bond, and especially in New York, that in times of crisis, people do pull together.
Right, and even before that, I was surprised when I would hear, you know, people risking their lives to, say, pull a stranger out of a burning car or something, and it occurred to me, well, you know, it must be that you don't even think about what you're doing when you do it. You just have that urge and that need to do it, and you do it.
I think that's really true, because we never really know how we're going to respond until we're actually in a crisis. We can always imagine or think, not that we want to, but if we were asked how we would respond in a crisis and to speculate, I think our responses and speculation are dramatically different than how we respond in actuality.
Mm.
Because, I mean, you mentioned sort of being calm and peaceful and feeling God there, which is, some would say that that's surprising, because you'd think that maybe you'd be anxious or everyone would rush out because not knowing sort of there's danger, but not knowing the extent of it. But it's, mm-hmm. but in crisis, having that sort of peacefulness because you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really potentially to some maybe unexpected, but I'm sure to you not at all.
Right. Yes. I mean, no, I was a little surprised that it happened there, you know, as opposed to, say, in a church or something. But yeah, I was a little surprised. But you know, I definitely recognized that, and also I, you know, I've seen a lot of the documentaries on 9/11, and there was this one where, you know, one of I think it was he a fireman? I think he was a fireman, but he was stuck under the debris for, you know, he was one of the last people to get out. And he said that, you know, in that situation, I think it was when he was hearing the building collapse from above, that, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, he was in that situation where he was stuck, right, and he knew it was really bad, and yet suddenly he had a feeling of peacefulness. And so I'm sure we're not the only ones.
No, that I think that's quite profound, because, you know, we see people, you know, risking their lives to help one another. We see people with compassion, and we see people sort of at peace because of not knowing what's going to happen in the situation. I think that's very striking. Absolutely. Do you do anything yourself sort of to honor the day or to see people? What do you do?
I always take a few days off work around that time, and you know, I watch the documentaries on television. This year, actually, my sister and brother-in-law were in town, so I didn't, you know, sit down and watch the service this year, but I have in the past.
Have you been actually to the site itself?
No, I think that
or would that be hard?
Mainly, yeah, I think it's mainly the family of the people who died, and or the president or somebody.
But on another occasion, have you gone to visit, or is that or is that hard for you?
No, I've been there twice. I've seen the memorial twice.
What do you think of that, the memorial?
It's very nice. I recommend going there while it's still light out, but going late enough so that the lights come on. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts getting dark, the lights come on. It's really beautiful at night. Mm. Really beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's quite lovely, the inverted fountain and the names everywhere.
Right.
And you always see people rubbing to get the names of their loved ones. I mean, I think it's such a nice honor and tribute.
Right. Yeah, so I look for the names of the people that I know, you know, and I always go by those.
Hmm. Well, you know, you're doing such a great service by sharing your story and being here today, because especially it's so timely. But I think it's always timely that we remember. Whether it's 9/11 or the next day, like today, or any time throughout the year, I do think it's important that we remember. Just,
right.
You know, one, so that we hope for this never, ever to happen again, anything ever again for this to happen, but also to remember those that were lost and the family members and friends and the survivors like yourself here today. Because it's hard really to say anything that's, you know, going to be profound enough to describe how great it is that you're here to share this and that you are here today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, having me here.
So I just want to thank you, Janice. And if you could, one more time, please absolutely give out that website so people can find your story.
Okay. www.onestoryamongthousands.org.
Do you have any last words that you'd like to say?
No, just that, you know, I appreciate being able to share the story. And, of course, it's something I never forget. I'll never forget. And every year, it'll be a special day for me, a day of remembrance.
Absolutely.
And as far as I can, I will take the day off work every year.
Yes. I think that sounds good. And just you being here today, we appreciate so much. And so today we've heard from Janice, your own personal story, a survivor of 9/11. And earlier today we heard from Rose, who is a mom raising two kids, 9 and 11. And each of her sons have autism. So both of you, I'm glad that you could be here to share and provide awareness and hope on Awareness Avenue.
Thank you.
Anything that you've missed today, you certainly can also drop me an email at awarenessavenue@gmail.com. That's awarenessavenue, all spelled out, @gmail.com. Whether it's about children with autism or whether it's about 9/11 or having access to Janice's story, certainly drop me an email. And just to remind you, we are here every Wednesday, 2 to 4. And here's what we do. We provide expertise, guidance, and share personal stories so that you can decide how you want to live your life. Because certainly I cannot tell you what to do. Only you know what is best for you, but you can gather information, guidance, and advice here on Awareness Avenue and then decide what will make your life more compelling. That is what we do here on Awareness Avenue every Wednesday from 2 to 4. Because remember, it's not whether you have issues, it's what you do with them. And I hope you work through them with me right here on Awareness Avenue. I'm Dr. Deb.